I believe that when the blessing of God is on us, we can walk through a hostile environment, knowing that the hostility will not stick to us, that the difficult time will not stay with us. I believe that when we walk with the blessing of God, we can run and not grow weary. And I think reality, we as the chosen children of God, of anyone on the planet, we are too blessed to be cursed. I think that we are too blessed to be stressed. And I believe that as children of God, there is a blessing that has your name on it. There is a blessing that you live in, that you operate in, that you have, that you don't have to ask to get. As a child of God, you already have it by default. It belongs to you. It has been imparted unto you. Psalms 3:8 says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people," Salah, or amen, or hallelujah. There is a blessing that's been placed upon God's people. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. God told Abram, "Leave your own community, leave your own country behind you and your own people and go to the land. I will guide you. If you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to many others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the entire world will be blessed because of you. That is the Abrahamic covenant. There is a Abrahamic blessing that is involved with there. And the good news that you need to understand today as a Christian, that the blessing God gave Abraham is a blessing that now resides upon you. It is a blessing that you and I receive. It's a blessing that the church has. Genesis 27, verse 26 through 29. There is this beautiful story. It's a story. I don't know how beautiful it is. There is an aged man by the name of Isaac who's laying in bed. His eyesight has failed him. His years are very progressed. He's got two boys. He has a boy named Esau and he has a boy named Jacob. Esau is the Duck Dynasty type of guy. Jacob is more of a Wall Street kind of guy because he's sneaky. And I see him coming in with his hair slicked back, wearing some of Esau's clothes. Jacob is there to get the blessing. He is there to get the blessing, Esau's blessing, in all actuality. The Bible says, "Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son." And those are the words of Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. He's the one that went on top of Mount Moriah. He's the one that Abraham almost offered to God and killed in graveyard dead until God provided a lamb in the thicket. "Please come a little closer and kiss me, son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced and he blessed his son. He said, "Oh, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always get," and this is the blessing that's being transmitted, "may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed." There is a blessing that is seen and received and imparted and gained there. Church, in biblical times, I believe that they understood the significance of blessing. When a blessing was given, it wasn't a small thing. It wasn't a tip. It was a tremendous item. It was something that was beholden. It was something that was coveted after. It was something that was sought after. I'm going to tell you how much the Old Testament people saw blessing. They would cheat to get it. They would deceive to get it. They would lie to get it. They would camouflage themselves by wearing their brother's clothes in order to get it. People in the Bible saw blessing as something that by hook or crook, I'm going to receive. I'm going to go after that blessing because I want it. Jacob saw the power of the blessing as something that was worth lying to get, something that was worth conniving about to get, something that was worth being cunning to receive. And what he did is he passed himself off as his brother in order to get the brother's blessing because Esau was the firstborn. He said, "No matter what I got to do, I want to make sure I get my daddy's blessing. I want to make sure that I get the blessing from my father." And by the way, Jacob got the blessing. And why did Jacob get the blessing? Jacob's name itself means deceiver. It means conniver. It means cheater. How would you like to just kind of be born from the womb with the name cheater or deceiver? And that was Jacob. And so why would the blessing, this beautiful blessing that Isaac gives, why would the blessing fall upon Jacob, the cheater and the deceiver? Why would the blessing fall upon him? Why would God choose Jacob, who came out of the womb grabbing a hold of something that wasn't even his? He grabbed onto his brother's heel. Why would God give Jacob a powerful powerful blessing, knowing that he was rotten. I got good news for you. The reason he gave Jacob the blessing is the same reason that God will give rotten people like you and me blessing. Esau, Jacob says, "Hey son, I'm going to bless you anyway." God was showing us that just like Jacob, we too are chosen for the blessing despite of our sinful nature, our fleshly nature, our spiritual nature. In spite of the fact that we're deceivers and connivers, God says, "Hey, I know who you are, I know where you've been, and I still have a blessing for you. I still have something to place upon you." Now the blessing of Jacob was prophetically given to Jacob, but it wasn't experientially known to Jacob until Jacob's name got changed. Does anybody remember who Jacob turned into?
Israel.
The blessing was given to Jacob prophetically, but it wasn't experientially available to him until his nature changed. Follow me on that. It wasn't experientially known until Jacob, until he got a new nature. Church, I believe that God has a blessing for the world, and I believe that God has a blessing for you and me. He has spoken it, but we don't get to experience it until we walk in Christ, until the old nature is gone and the new nature has come. It's different than just saying it and living in it. It's one thing to say I have it, but it's another thing to experience it in our own lives. Esau rejected the blessing because he was short-sighted, or he lived for the moment. He was just wanting to get his daddy some squirrel stew. He wanted to give his daddy his favorite meal. And I believe the reason why Esau missed the blessing is because Esau could only see what was in front of him, the here, the right now, what he could feel, what he could experience. He reminds me a lot of modern Christians, where we live in the right now, the right here, only what we can see, only what we can feel, only what we can experience. And this is what I got to give to Jacob. This is what tips the scale, in my opinion. Jacob saw the bigger picture of what the blessing could bring. Not just the blessing in the here and now, and the right at this moment, and what I can get out of it at this very instant. But Jacob saw, I want to bless my family. I want this blessing to go on and have long, long tentacles that can go out for future generations. Jacob saw the potential of the blessing that was going out ahead of him. Church, in our Christian culture today, we've lost the meaning of blessing. We don't know what blessing means anymore. We don't even know what the power of blessing means anymore. I want to tell you what we consider blessing. If we go to Walmart and there's an empty spot close to the door, thank God I've been blessed. Or, by the way, that's not a blessing. Not in a biblical sense. We beat the Menard 500 by 5 minutes at 3 o'clock every day. Oh, what a blessing. That's not what they would consider a blessing in the Bible. Or, this is really more, you get an onion ring in your French fry order. Oh, that's a blessing. Not really. Well, kind of, sort of it is. But that's the stuff we consider blessing. But if we would ask a person in the Bible, what's it mean to be blessed? They wouldn't tell you that, blessing is when you get a close parking spot. A blessing isn't when you get an onion ring and your French fries. A blessing isn't when you beat rush hour. A blessing had something powerful to it. Something intangible to it. Something powerful to it. They understood that the blessing pertained to their destiny, where they were going, where they were headed, how they were going to operate, how God was going to use them in the kingdom of God. The blessing was attached to their personal destiny. Secondly, the blessing had to do with, the blessing's not just for me here right now, but the blessing is also for my kids and my grandkids and my super great grandkids. There's a blessing that can be transmitted generationally. They understood the blessing in the Bible where we have not been taught it, or we haven't grasped it, or maybe we've forgotten about it. The blessing in the Bible usually came upon the firstborn, but we find many times that the blessing skips the firstborn and goes to the secondborn. It skips the first and hits the second. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because Adam was the first Adam. Didn't get the blessing, got the curse. Who was the second Adam? Jesus, who became the curse and brought us blessing. Amen. The reason oftentimes is because this was modeled in Jesus. Because the blessing of God is upon Jesus. And the blessing of God now upon us, because we are in Him and Jesus is in us. Because Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus. God blessed Jesus, the second Adam, cursed the first Adam, and you and I have this beautiful blessing because Jesus is in us and we are in Him. Galatians 3, 13 through 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham, church say blessing of Abraham. Remember what we just read this. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. You'll be great among all nations. That is the blessing that was given to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. Because you are a Christian, Jesus lives in you, and you live in Jesus. The Bible tells us in black and white letters, God is telling us what I blessed Abraham with, born again Christian, I now bless you with. Amen. You don't have to ask for it. It's yours. It belongs to you. It resides in you. You have it. You possess it. Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. How many of y'all belong to Christ? Then you have been grafted into the rich root of the olive tree. You have been grafted into that beautiful blessing. Heirs according to the promise. So we find that the blessing of Abraham is upon Jesus, and because Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus, that promise now belongs to us. We are already blessed. There is a promise already in our bag. A biblical blessing from God has moving parts, and parts of that work, and those parts work in agreement, and they work in tandem, and they work off one another. The first part of the blessing is this. It's what's promised to the one who receives it. It is the promise that is given to the one who receives it. The first part of the blessing is the promise. The second part of the blessing is this. That the blessing would protect the one who received it, even to the point that any curse that may be sent to that person will boomerang back and curse the one who's given the curse. Somebody tries to hurt you because you have the blessing, what'll happen is what I call the boomerang effect. It'll come back and hit them. You ever seen that before? Lots of people say, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. The blessing could protect the one who received it, even to the point of causing any curse that was sent to come back on the one who sent it. Here's the way this goes. Genesis 12, 3. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. What they meant to stick on you will go back and stick on them. And in these shall be families of the earth blessed. Proverbs 11, 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life and the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We need to understand something, church. Blessings are made of words. Church, say blessings are made of words. Blessings are made of words, but you know what? So are curses. Curses are also made out of words. There's this powerful passage in Scripture that I feel led to read to you today. James 3, 3 through 10. I'm reading the Message translation just because it's so easy to understand. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls a whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest wind. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on reputations, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father, and the same tongues, we curse the very men and women who He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. I don't know if this is God or just me, but oftentimes you say, well, preacher, you don't talk much or things like that. I'm going to be honest with you. The reason oftentimes I won't say anything is because I don't want to say the wrong thing. Preacher, you seem like something's on your heart. No, not really. I just don't want to mess up. And I get that from James chapter 3. Our tongues are so powerful. They have the bless. They have the ability to bless, and they have the ability to curse. Guard your words, because these things matter. Proverbs 26:27, the one who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever rolls a stone, it will come back on him. The whole idea, church, of what I'm wanting you to grasp is that if you have the blessing of God, you have received it. But secondly, if you have the blessing of God, it has the tendency and the power and the potential that whatever curses are sent your way can boomerang around, miss you, and go back to the person who has said it. I don't know about you, I want some of that stuff. That's what I want. That's what I want to operate in. That's what I want to live in. Balak, the king of Moab, he hired a prophet by the name of Balaam. Balaam was an experienced prophet. And he hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He says, here, I'm going to give you $150. You're a man of God. You go out there and you put a curse on the people so I can whip their tail and take their land and all that stuff. And here's the thing. Balaam says, all right, yeah, I'll take your money. There was a desire in Balaam's heart to cast curses against Israel. He says, okay, I can do that. I can morally do that. I don't have any problem doing that. So Balaam goes out there. He opens up his mouth. He's already got the check in the hand from King Balak to curse the land. He opens up his mouth, and instead of curses comes blessing. Now, Numbers 23:11 says, then King Balak demanded to Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you here to curse my enemies. Instead, what have you done? You blessed him. Now, the reason that happened is because the nation was already operating underneath the blessing. And what I've been preaching to you for the last 10 minutes is coming into fruition and coming true here. The blessing that went out stuck, but the cursing boomeranged back around. Numbers 23:20. Listen, I received a command to bless God. To bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Church, say, I cannot reverse it. To me, I'm about to give you the coolest part of this entire message. There is a profound truth in the story that is often overlooked by the Christian and by the church. And this is it. The blessing can reverse the curse, but the curse can never reverse the blessing. The blessing can reverse the curse, but the curse can never remove the blessing. You have within you the power and the promise and the blessing to reverse every curse in your life, to reverse every vexation in your life, to reverse everything that the enemy or your enemies have placed against you. And the other is also true. If you're walking in the blessing, there's no curse, there's no vexation that can stop you from being blessed. Deuteronomy 23:5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved you. Not because you were good, not because you were awesome, not because you were moral, not because you were religious, but the blessing came to you because I loved you. That's a powerful verse there. Church, the Lord thy God loves us today. He calls us friends. And if you'll take Him at His word, He will turn your circumstances around. He wants you to know today that you are too blessed to be cursed. You are too blessed to be stressed. And there is a blessing with your name on it. There was a report that was put out just recently, this year in fact. A man by the name of Brian Thomas reports this. And it's a study about cancer and the human body. Thomas reports, a new study's results showed that the number of cell division in body tissue is a more significant cancer contributor than any other factor. I'll clear that up a little bit. There was another study that helped shed some light on that one. It revealed that the body's natural age progression. The older we get, the harder time our body has repairing damaged DNA, mutated cells. The harder time our body has in repairing damage that are done to our cells just through the natural progression of aging. This chain of events causes, and this was interesting to me, just because we get older, the chances and the likelihood of us getting cancer increases 66%. Not because we smoke, not because we have charbroiled meat, not because we eat marshmallows or whatever they say causes cancer. But just simply by us getting older, the chances of us getting cancer goes up 66%. Now, that has nothing to do with what I eat, where I go, what I smell, whether I do or don't exercise. 66% of it's just made up of the fact that I'm getting older. So the likelihood of me getting it increases because that's the way the deck is stacked. So even if I ate right and did everything else, I'm going in with a 6 out of 10 chance of getting cancer sometime. Hey, those aren't good odds. I'm going to go ahead and eat the cheeseburger. I'm going to go ahead and have the grilled steak. Maybe I'm wrong. Don't amen that. I could be wrong on that, but that's my choice and that's the way I'm going. A separate study revealed that the bodies of older people produce declining amounts of a cancer-minimizing molecule called NAD+, which in turn leads to unrepaired DNA breaks, cell damage, mutation, cellular death, and the loss of organ function. As we get older, we lose more. We lose that. As we get older, we lose that. So, you and I are hamstrung straight from the gate. It seems really that the only way you can repair cancer is if you could take out every cell of your body and fix each mutation and take out every cell of your body and fix every little thing that's wrong. That can't be done. Not with science. But I think this is a very interesting thing. The Bible tells us this, that the curse of us getting older and diseased wasn't given to us when we started eating food on a fire. It came onto us when Adam and Eve sinned. There was a curse that was put on humanity at the fall. And no matter what you do or what you exercise or what you do or you do not eat, that curse is already in play. That curse is there. Genesis 2:17 tells us that the curse God placed on all of creation because of man's disobedience, it led to disease. It led to death. It's there. And these two science studies confirm that by linking the now cursed process of growth and aging with cancer, it just says the older you get, the more likelihood you have of this falling upon you, this happening to you. However, I've got good news for you. The same Bible that says humanity is cursed also tells us that God, through His Son Jesus, has also provided a way for the curse to be lifted. For the curse to be done away with through a blessing. And I think this is incredible. Mercifully, God used another curse to cancel out the first curse. God used the curse of the second Adam, Jesus, to overcome the curse of the first Adam. And here's the thing. Read this with me. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law which convicts us of all disobeying God and facing His eternal death penalty. How did He do that? By becoming a what? By becoming the curse. Anyone who's by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Leave it to God to cancel out a curse with another curse. And I thank God, Jesus hung on the cross to cancel out my curse so I can be blessed. And there's nothing I do or cannot do that will remove that blessing from me. There's nothing I can do. Jesus paid for our sins by His death so that we might live forever. Now here's the thing. This old body of Mike Fogerson, hey, it might get cancer, but I do know one thing. My soul will remain pure, healed, and healthy until the day eternity ends. And the last time I checked, that never happens. My soul will always be saved. My soul will always be whole. My hope, my soul will always remain under the blessing. No matter what happens, my soul will remain under the blessing. And one of these days, God will give me a brand new Brad Pitt looking body. One of these days. The result is that our debt of guilt and sin has forever been canceled out. The curse has been lifted by the blessing. The blessing can reverse the curse, but the curse can never lift the blessing. And Mr. Thomas concludes, and I'm done, this is my last page. Whoever demonstrates repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ will enjoy eternal life with Jesus, victory over death, victory over the curse, and victory over cancer forevermore. Revelation 21:4, this is the last verse I'm leaving you with. Jesus will wipe away every tear from your eye. Death will no longer exist. Grief will no longer exist. Crying will no longer exist. Pain will no longer exist. Because the previous things have passed away. Church, no matter what we may go through, no matter what may come our way, you need to understand something. You will always be underneath the blessing of God. No matter how it looks like your life is going off the rails, no matter how much hell it looks like you're going through, you need to understand something. You are blessed and highly favored. No amount of curse can remove the blessing that you have by being saved. No matter what may come our way, we are saved, we are redeemed. No matter what may come our way, we are forgiven and we are set free. We are blessed and we are highly favored. We are chosen. Our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and it will never be removed. We are under the blood, we are healed, and we are delivered. Nothing will ever change these things, no matter how bad or arduous things in our life become. We are under a blessing. Not the blessing of getting a close parking spot, but we are under the blessing of God through Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. And that means that the blessing God put on Him is on your life. Nothing can take that away. Your blessing isn't a close parking spot at Walmart. The curse of Adam has been removed by the curse of the cross, and you now have the blessing of God. Church, I'm going to ask if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. Linda, if you'd come up and play. Church, there was one word I received this morning in my office in my prayer time. There was just one word. And the word that I was given was just this word, release. The word I was given was the word release. And the more I dwelt on that, and the more I prayed about it, I think these are words from the Spirit. I hope they are. If not, then just discard them. Just discard them. But I think what I'm supposed to say is that there is an atmosphere of release in the room this morning. There is an atmosphere of release. And when I began to think of the word release, I said, well, God, what do you mean? Release can mean a lot of different things. Well, when you release something, oftentimes it means you're set free. You set something free. So I may be talking to you today, and there is something that has you in bondage, that has you in chains. Maybe it's lust, maybe it's greed, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's anger, maybe it's pride, maybe it's hate, maybe it's unforgiveness. I don't know, but something has you in bondage. And I want you to know that today, heaven has kissed earth, and the Holy Spirit is providing an atmosphere of release for you to be set free. Release also means permission to proceed. You can now go forward. You have permission to proceed into your destiny, into your blessing. You can now leave where you're at and go forward in the Spirit. And as I was writing this thing, something else came to my mind. Release. What else does it mean? You ever get hurt? Oh, God. You ever get hurt on the job? You go to the doctor to get a release to go back to service, to go back to work. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been wounded. Some of you have suffered at the hands or the words of another brother or sister in Christ, and you've benched yourself. The great physician is here today to write you a release to go back into the service in the kingdom of God. Giving you a release, pick up the servant's towel. And to go back serving. Some of you are released to go to Israel today. You're saying, you know what, I put that decision off long enough. God is releasing you to make those decisions. Release. Your life's been on a holding pattern. You've been delaying a decision. You have been delaying executing a decision. It's time to make a move today. It's time to move on. It's time to progress. You are being released from your holding pattern. It's time to go on. Your curse has been reversed by the blessing. You're released. If you'll take it, you'll be released. As every head bowed and every eye is closed, I'm just simply going to ask you to stand to your feet. And even in my own spirit, those last couple things I told you about release, those sound different than any other part of the sermon to me. So that doesn't, I can't think of those things on my own. So I'm just going to assume they came out of my time with God. But every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Release. Today, if some of that stuff made sense to you, or maybe it was talking right at you, almost like I'd read your mail, it's where you're at. And you want to experience what God is going to do in this spirit, in this service, in way of release. I'm going to ask you to just lift your right hand towards heaven. I'm going to pray with you. Keep it up. You know, I'm not even looking to say, I don't know if there's anybody with raised hands, to be God honest with you. I really don't. It's none of my business. I'm just here to tell you about what God is going to do. He wants you to know that you're blessed beyond the curse. He wants you to know that there's nothing in this world that can take the blessing away from you. You can forfeit it. You can give it up yourself, but He's not going to take it from you. Because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And nothing plucks you out of His hand. He wants you to have the release of blessing in your life. I just want you to pray with me out loud with that hand of surrender towards heaven. Just say, "Dear God, today I learned the power of blessing. And I am blessed. Beyond the curse. And the blessing has reversed the curse. Jesus is in me. And I am in Him. Today I reclaim my blessing. I am blessed and highly favored. Release your spirit in me. Release the blessing in me. Release the anointing in me. Release the power in my life. Release the fire on me. Give me a new nature. A nature that holds on to the blessing. That sees the power of the blessing. And lives in the reality of the blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill me with fire. Lord God, I want to thank you for every person who's raised their hand, who's asked for that prayer of release in their life. And God, for those who have lifted their hands and seeking your blessing, wanting your blessing, claiming their blessing, seeking their release. Dear God, I pray that today, in the name of Jesus, you would release blessing into them. You would release them, Father, from the holding pattern that they have been in their lives. I pray that you would release them from inactivity. You would release them from the bench. You would release them, dear God, into destiny and release them into blessing. Release them to go back to work. Release them to go to the land. To release them from the holding pattern. And let them move on. Because the curse has been reversed by the blessing. Oh, if you knew Him like I know Him, you'd raise up and you'd call Him blessed right now in Jesus' name. Because He's good and He's the God that breaks the curse. All right, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Church, thank you so much for listening to me today. Tonight at 6:30, we're going to have a time of worship. And we're going to do things a little bit different tonight at service. So I encourage you to come back and be a part of that. And today, I want you to live in that release. I want you to live in that word that you've been given today.